What's up? This is MC Lars. You are listening to Journey into Comics.
You!
And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
Hey everybody, welcome to Journey into Comics, the one and only podcast where we talk about everything nerd. And of course, we have been doing shows. We did our live show at LaFeeCon. We had our first episode of panels, and now we got this one. This is a really cool one that I had a lot of fun with, and it was with the Wabash Paranormal Research Society. I've been following these guys ever since they started. And with me here is, of course, my co-host Nate.
Hey Brando, how you doing today?
It's going pretty good. Now, we had the honor of sitting down with these guys, and you kind of let me take the lead on it because, well, we've done episodes on ghost hunting, and I've kind of, like, you know, dabbled in that quite a bit.
It's what you do, and as we'll talk about in the panel, we kind of did that together, the start of it, and it took you to a whole different level, and it took me to a kind of different level. But it's a really good panel. It was really cool to see the different gadgets they had on the stage. I will say that in the panel, you're going to hear them talk about, like, the most insane evidence. I want to put that evidence in the link of this episode, because after hearing it, like, I still can't get it out of my head. You know,
oh, dude, it was really cool. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and shoot over to myself and hosting that panel. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
How we sound good? Everybody sound good back there?
Oh, awesome. She can hear us. We're good.
Thumbs up. I think we're good.
Sweet.
All right, we got thumbs up from our sound guy back there. So if we're ready to start, we are ready to start. Of course, these guys are the Wabash Paranormal Research Society. And they have a booth right over there, so...
Absolutely.
So we're done here. Go check these guys out. We are Journey into Comics. I am Nate. Oh, no, I'm not Nate. I'm Brando.
He's so used to me saying, and I'm Nate, and then he says, and I'm Brando, that he just called himself me.
I did. However, today what we're going to do is that we're going to host this panel. We're just going to sit up here, and we're going to chill, and we're going to talk about all things that you guys do. And yep. I'm super excited for this because... I've dabbled in this as well, and I can't see my audience. Here, move
these flowers are free?
They look nice, though.
They looked nice, but I can't see my beautiful audience.
That's true. It was in the way.
So why don't you guys just give like an introduction, and kind of like we'll take it from there.
Cool. I'm James Holsclaw. I am the founder of Wabash Paranormal Research Society. We founded in 2011, right after I got out of the Marine Corps. And it was, so that's a good part. And it was cool being in the Marine Corps because I got to travel around the world and see, you know, going to Ireland and seeing these castles that were just, you hear these stories and you want to spend the night there. And I was like, oh, man, I could really get into this. I'm going to start a group when I get back. Little did I know we'd be sitting here today and doing what we're doing.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. But where I started in the paranormal field was in 2001. Do you guys remember the Pythian home? The Haunted Mansion. I actually was in first edition, and I acted there, but we would spend the night there. So one time we had Indiana Ghost Trackers come in, and we're walking through, and I'm just like, how is this stuff happening? How do I explain what I'm seeing? Do I rationalize this?
It's blowing your mind.
Yeah, my mind was like... And so that's what really got me started. It was the questions, the hows, the whats, the whys. And I kept digging into, you know, hopping on the internet, researching everything I could about paranormal. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Then I went to the Marine Corps, and I kept broadening my knowledge on paranormal, getting into demonology, cryptozoology, and everything like that. And here I am today. I've been featured on a few shows.
Yep.
My ghost story, celebrity ghost story.
Awesome.
Ghost Adventures.
Really?
So, yep, those were pretty cool. And those guys, I hang out and text with them to this day. Indiana's one of the number 7 most haunted states in America.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls.
And also Bigfoot. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
We have Bigfoot in Indiana?
We have Shade State Park.
He's active?
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's one of the bigger Bigfoot areas along with Kentucky. So there's a lot of cryptozoologists that go around here and do a lot of studies at our national parks here. So it's pretty cool.
You know, that's one aspect I never really got into was the Bigfoot hunting.
Yeah, we had a few members, not quite so much as much now. Some of the members come and go, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, we don't get too much into it. But
no, and we dabble a little bit in MUFON. Are you guys familiar with MUFON?
The UFOs.
So we dabble like with my background with military aircraft. I like to disprove, you know, just the whys and the whats and the hows.
Yeah.
So I like to try to bring a rational thinking to things.
Well, yeah, that's cool because, I mean, especially like with your background, you have a little more insight of what, and you know, the who's it's and the what's it's and how things kind of work out with aircraft. So.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
I mean, so like to an untrained eye, they might think, well, that's weird. And you go, come on now.
It's just the light.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is Kevin. We don't need to talk about him.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Steiner. I've been part of the group for 5 years now.
Yep, 5 years?
Yeah, I looked back at my emails the other day, cleaning them all out. But I started because I had some things happening at my house after my grandma passed away. You know, the average story, you know, you just have things happen at your house. And I was scared at first. And after I got off the initial, like, scare of it all, you know, what is this? How is this happening? Kind of the same thing. Why does any of this happen? I thought, you know, I'm probably the average person. And if I'm scared in my own home, I don't want anyone else scared in their home. So I got into this after I learned what he was doing. I was like, I don't want anyone scared in their home. I take this, you know, it's your home. You live in it. You know, you shouldn't be scared in your own home. That's one of the main reasons why I do what I do, you know, helping anyone that doesn't quite understand what's going on in their own home and helping them explain and teach them.
That's probably one of the best parts.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you get a call. And we've done it to where we got calls at 3, 4 a.m. We find out there's kids involved. So
yeah, we drop everything.
Well, I wake up, get my equipment, and we're going over to the house to see what's going on.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Whether there's a rational explanation like, oh, you have faulty electrical.
Yeah.
This is why you're feeling sick or, you know, just try to explain it to them. To give them a little bit more peace of mind, but we try to do that as much as we can.
Yeah, I had a coworker who at her house, she was complaining about just feeling very like, you know, like those looking over your shoulder, you know, paranoia.
Yeah. That is a big one.
And me and my buddy Matt went over there one night after work, and we were just sweeping, and we noticed there were some electrical issues, some really high readings, and we're like, this is probably what it is.
And we call those like EMFs.
The really high EMFs. It was,
believe it or not, your refrigerator, your microwave, your electrical boxes, so some of those feelings you get when you're in your home is because you're standing close to those.
Yes. Yeah.
And most it's of the time, like, that's why you get the feeling of somebody behind you, but it's just those appliances giving off that EMF field.
Kitchen and laundry room is really big, where a lot of people say
it was in her laundry room, and they actually had the like the
furnace,
and it was right there, and so instantly we were like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
We don't really think. So we stuck around and we did a few more things just to check it out. But ultimately, that's kind of what we concluded, that this is more than likely what it is, and you know. When I first started getting into this kind of stuff, it was actually through a friend that we met, another paranormal guy who is unfortunately no longer with us, from over in Illinois. His name was Dave Triska. And
good guy.
You know, because I've noticed you guys have all these neat little gadgets up here.
Yeah,
with us. And we have some others at our table.
Yeah, dude.
You can dance in front of.
That how we're done talking. But, okay,
absolutely.
So, like, I've seen the shows, you know, I've seen all these different kind of things. And there's one device that he had that I wasn't too sure about, and I want to say it was called the Ovilus.
Ah, the Ovilus.
We
didn't bring that, but we do
have one. We have one.
All right, so, like, I was always, you know, pretty skeptical of that device. And when we were using it, we were in Rossville, Illinois, and we were in what's called the Haunted Opera House, and the top floor used to be a Mason's Lodge, a Freemason's Lodge. And we were up there, we're just kind of hanging out, and we're listening. And it's throwing words out there. Some of it makes sense, some of it not so. But
they get way out there. It's pretty crazy.
But basically, what the device is, it's like a word bank, like a little, like it almost sounds like Microsoft Sam from back in the old computers.
We actually have an LCD screen for ours, so we can read it.
He eventually did get one of those, but at the time he didn't. So we were just listening using our ears, trying to decipher what this thing was saying. And I wasn't really putting too much thought into some of it until it kept saying the word. Ashes.
Okay.
We're like, what's that mean? And then finally it said ashes, February, fire. In 2004, the block, just one block away, a whole city block burned down.
Oh, wow.
In February of 2004, and the Mason's Lodge moved to that block.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, maybe there is something here, because that is too coincidental.
And
for them to be, you know, picking out those specific
words. That's very true. And I don't know, is anybody familiar with the ovulus or seen it on TV or anything like that? It literally is just a little box that it has the every, you know, word that we know in it. And it's supposedly that the entities and everything use the electromagnetic field to manipulate that to give you words. So it's using, so if you're at a location and you kind of know the backstory and it starts spitting out words that can go up the storyline, you can kind of use that to get some answers.
And you only get one word at a time.
Yes.
So
and it, yeah.
Sometimes you don't realize what it's doing. It's a slow process to put it all together.
Oh, yeah. Ours likes to say Pluto all the time.
Pluto. And the one time it did, there was a picture of Pluto, the dog.
The very first time
I had
it.
We went to Culver Hospital, is now apartment complexes, blowing my mind.
Anybody from Crawfordsville? Crawfordsville?
Yeah.
The old Culver Union Hospital?
Yeah.
We did an investigation there, and that's where we first had the ovulus. And I was literally... It says Pluto. I'm like, oh, I was standing right in front of Pluto. I was like, this thing's awesome.
Yeah, and then
it
after
still
that,
says Pluto
it
every
says
day.
Pluto all the time.
We're so like, it's not so awesome.
Okay.
We had another issue when we went back at the Mason's Lodge. There was like this trap door, and it led down probably about 5 feet to another trap door, which led down to another 5 feet, and it was like a double trap door.
That's weird.
And in that same little section, there was a closet, and on top of it was another door, another closet with no way to get up there.
Huh.
I'm like, this is right out of a movie. I'm like, what is this? And so, like, we've seen it before. We talked about doing something. We went into the closet and did some stuff in there. We talked about going down to the trap door, and we have done some down there too. But then Dave, who owned the building, he had somebody tell him a little bit more about, you know, some inside Mason stuff and what they would keep down there. And I don't know if this is true. I'm not a Mason, so I'm not trying to speak ill of any Freemasons, but the rumor is that they would put like a human skeleton down there.
Wow.
Whoa. And I don't know if it was for like an initiate. I don't know what it was for.
Yeah.
But so we had the ovulus and we were just goofing around up there trying to get some words going. We weren't really making any sense. And it said trap door. And like trap door. You want us to go to the trap door? Okay. What do you want?
All right.
And then I remembered what David just told us a few hours ago. I'm like, what'd you guys keep down there? And it got stained bones. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's cool when it works. It really is. It's cool when you can line up stories with it and everything. And it's still one of my favorite pieces of equipment to use.
But we can't really
use that and get factual evidence.
Yeah.
From it, so.
And see, I was too. I was totally. Very skeptical about it. But then you get these moments where it fits. It works. And it's like, this is, you know... Do you believe in coincidences that much?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's where it comes down to.
So, I mean, yeah.
There's sometimes where it's just a dud of equipment, doesn't do anything. And then there's sometimes it's every time.
Yeah, it's on fire, man. Yeah. That thing won't shut up.
And this is one of my favorite pieces. We use this a lot.
Yeah, this is
you guys familiar with trigger objects?
Yeah, trigger objects.
They use, they have like dolls that have lights in them, and they light up when you get close. This one's a train. So no matter what you do, try to touch it. So when you get close to it, it goes off. It's going to go off every time right before you touch it. So it's using a proximity sensor with the EMF field to manipulate into the sound and the light that you see.
Yeah, we get off energy and it picks that up before we get there.
So that's something cool, especially if we're investigating. I use this. The first time I ever had it go off was at Waverly Hills. You guys familiar with Waverly Hills or heard stories about
from
that?
From the TVs.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, it's been on
like
TV
one
a lot.
Of the most haunted places in America.
It's pretty crazy. So I was on the fifth floor, and I was talking to Timmy. That was the kid's name. And I was like, I was outside of room 502 where the nurse hung herself. So it'd say that's where you can play with a ball, and Timmy likes to play with different objects. I was like,
Toys. Well,
I'm going to bring the train. So I sit it down, and literally within 2 minutes, I was like, can you just, you know, can you play with the train? And I start walking away, and I hear this thing go off. I'm the only one on the floor, and I'm 20 feet away from it at this point. I was like, oh, man, this is cool.
That's awesome.
But as you can see, and we'll have it at the table so you can come check it out.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite trigger objects to use, and it's simple. So no matter what you do, it's
right.
Cool.
Right, and when it's left by itself and on, it's not going to do anything unless something.
And I can literally count on one hand how many times we had this go off, but it stops you dead in your tracks when it does.
Rarely does. We stop everything. We're like, hey, everyone, be quiet. All right.
So
it's one of the cooler things that we have. And do you guys, anybody out there ghost hunt at all?
Watching any of the shows or anything like that? Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys have any questions, just raise your hand. We'll ask.
Yeah.
And answer questions.
Totally
free for them. Yeah. We also like to use our Zoom here, our stereo recorder.
Yeah.
And when I don't mess it up and make it work.
Do you want me to turn it on?
No, you don't have to turn it on. But we like to use that, but we also like to use live EVP. So what that is, we'll have one of our team members, they'll be wearing headphones, and all they're doing is listening to it live, so they know, and they have the recorder, so they know times when we hear something, and they can say mark it, or, you know, let's go over this right now. But we've also used it in the aspect down in Indy, there's a place called Redden Acres. We ran a line out on it and had it out to a Bose, or it was like just a sound
like a
system. But if you're not inside investigating, you can listen in on everything. I mean, and the coolest thing was is everybody's out of the building and you hear like footsteps just walking up and down the stairs. Nobody's in there.
That's cool.
But with this, you're able to do that and it manipulates it so you can hear it, and it's awesome. I love it.
That's one of the better recorders out there for we do. I really like that one.
I wish they were cheaper.
What?
It's also good for podcasting. If you get like, that's exactly what we're recording through. It's like a few levels up from that.
Oh yeah, this is an old one.
But there was a device that we used that we kind of did like kind of a live thing with the headphones, and it's the S7B radio
speaker box.
Speaker box.
Yeah. And we decided to do since it's so hard to
spirit box.
Spirit box.
It's so hard sometimes to hear. It's so loud. And sometimes when you're asking questions and you hear like a voice come through. Basically, people, what it does is cycles through radio signals very fast.
Milliseconds.
You can't hear anything. It's like, it's so fast.
Accurate.
Your ear will not be able to pick it up. But when they can utilize like this device and kind of speak through it. And it's like it's almost like a microphone for them.
Yeah.
And so their voice comes through, and it's going to be a clear voice that comes through multiple radio channels.
Which is impossible.
Yes.
You know, which is why we like to use it.
Yeah.
So it's not a radio station person at all.
It
can't be.
And then so we decided, because it was so hard to hear, and sometimes people think, or like they hear the question, so then they're looking for an answer, and they might say, well, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
But then so we decided, all right, I'm going to wear headphones. I'm not going to know what you guys are saying, because this thing's too loud in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to hear, if I hear anything, I'll say it. And it's going to be totally non-influenced from what I'm hearing you guys.
For sure.
And that was a mind trip.
Oh, yeah.
That was a mind trip.
Yeah, I haven't used it in that way. So
no, we haven't done that.
That's one thing. Now I think I'm going
to
try that.
Yeah. Like we also, when we go to places, we like to do experiments.
Yeah.
So different ways. One thing that we did at Revenant Acres was the Gonsfeld experiment.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Have you heard of the Gonsfeld experiment?
Huh? It's
deprivation.
You put stuff
sensory
over your eyes.
Deprivation.
Yes,
deprivation.
Exactly.
So you go deaf, so you have white noise playing, so you can't hear anything. You put something over your eyes, so maybe you can see shadows in front of you. It's not completely dark. And
they cut up golf balls. And
goggles. So, and then you have a red light facing in front of you, so you can see the shadows clear. But you just sit in the dark alone. And just people ask questions or something and see what happens. You lose track of all time. You have no clue how long you sit there. I did it once, and I was like, how long was I there? And they're like, you were there for a half hour. And I was like, it felt like an hour. I had no clue. And then one of our members did it first time. He was done in 10 minutes. And he was like, I'm done. And he's like, how long was I there? I'm like, 10 minutes, man. 10 minutes.
But what it does, it makes your mind start playing tricks on you. So you're really a victim of your own mind when you're doing the deprivation part of it.
And your brain.
I haven't done it yet, actually.
Yeah, you threw me into this.
I was the guy who's like, oh, Kevin will do it.
Yeah.
Good job,
he's like,
bud.
Oh, let's do an experiment. Steiner, you go do that. Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's effective, but it's a different aspect of getting evidence or seeing, because each person's going to have a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take all the experiences and see if it links up to the place
totally,
you're at.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of like the theory behind that is to deprive the senses, because our brain and our senses pick up so much, and our brain will filter it, rendering certain output or input redundant.
Yeah.
So it's like your vision, your ears, everything. And so what this does is it blanks that.
Mm-hmm.
Giving a clean slate.
Like a clean slate, and allows it to where you're bringing in everything. And that's one thing I've heard about, like small children are a little bit more susceptible to the paranormal because their brains haven't shut that off yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
The other trick with it is your brain starts getting bored because there's nothing to do. There's nothing to process. And you got to remember that your brain gets bored and just does things because it's bored.
Unlike yours, it doesn't work.
That's the other aspect to it, too, is that's the the counter argument is that your brain is just bored
yeah.
in creating these things. So,
and this right here is another thing we like to use. It measures the Melagoss scale, so your EMF field. But you've probably seen these on the TV shows. It's measured from a green to red light. So when you get close to something electrical, there's nothing
Maybe
around
try your
me,
mic.
So I can't. Somebody have their phone.
How about your
cell
mic?
Phone work or?
Yeah. Oh, my mic, it's not electrical.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
But if you have a cell phone, sometimes you can catch, well, that's not going to work because there's no signal. Yeah. It catches the signal and it'll make it spike. So it's kind of using, that's where you got to be careful. And some of the shows I don't like that they use stuff like this.
It's easy to manipulate.
It's easy to manipulate and they can make stuff happen with a cell phone by just getting a text message.
Or putting something underneath
sending
it.
Data
yeah.
Or yeah. Something like that,
yeah. So when you're sending this.
We mainly use that to go in. Find out if they have bad electrical or something in their home.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
going to
give us up. Yep.
And we don't normally use that for investigative purposes. We will sometimes, but it's not in like...
Usually when there's no power in the building.
Yeah, like when you can guarantee that the power's been cut off and there's no sort of input.
But they don't tell you that in the TV shows. They're just like, oh my God, something moved. It's paranormal. It's haunted. This place is haunted.
And another thing that we use is something like this. This is the Mel meter.
It might be dead.
And it's dead.
I didn't have a 9 volt.
Okay. But it gives you a number reading versus the lights. Now you have a number and temperature reading you can associate to the room or the area. And you know, when you go by ceiling fans, electrical boxes, the number's going to be up to like 100. And if you go just a normal reading I've had in a house, it was like between 5 and 10. So you go through and get your base reading so you know, now I know it's going to be at 10. This room was at 10. Now I'm getting spikes to 50. That's from 10 to 50. We can start using that towards, you know, that
possibly
it might be evidence.
Paranormal, yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
And you can also use a temperature.
Cold spots.
Cold spots.
That is this thing. Aha.
Yeah, you can use that as well.
That's the laser pointer. I don't like that one as much, personally, because it's like on a certain object. I like the ambient temperature to know like if there's a cold spot around this certain area, because that, you know, maybe a spirit's manifesting and using that energy there.
Yeah. We were using the millimeter at that opera house, and my partner had suggested that they bring the temperature down. It was in July. It was 95 degrees at midnight up there.
Oh, wow.
And
there were windows in the main room open, but there was no breeze. There was nothing. And then we were what they call the prop room, which is because it used to be an opera house. So this is the area of what would have been above the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no windows. There's a door going this way and stairs going that way. It's brick. It's completely hot. And me and my buddy had a cold spot.
Oh, that's cool.
And when he suggested to bring the temperature down, he said, can you bring it down to 89? And it went down to exactly 89.
Nice.
That's cool.
And right after that, or right before that, I had got something like a noise right behind me. And there's a brick wall.
Yeah, you know? Tapping.
Well, no, it was like a... And on my recorder, I heard it in person because I said that. But I kind of forgot about it because then we had the cold spot happen.
Okay.
It wasn't until after that I was reviewing. I'm like, I had that, and then I had the cold spot. That's kind of neat because that could be correlated.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And another thing we like to use is night vision motion detectors.
Oh.
So with it has to be pitch black for these to work.
Okay.
So then the sensor will go off. I can't even recreate it unless I put it on, unless it's dead. But when it does, I can do a continuous light. So when something walks past it, this light will go off and it'll illuminate the whole room. And usually we like to put a camera by here to see if we get any shadows or anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brings us in. You want to explain the...
Oh, the Kinect?
The Kinect, yeah.
Yeah. So we have the TV over there, and it's you've seen a lot of people dancing in front of it. Basically, it's an Xbox Kinect that we use, that they came out with software for, that you can plug into your laptop.
Oh.
And then when you plug it into your laptop, you get to see what the Kinect sees when you're using it. And the theory behind it is we saw a couple of YouTube videos and stuff where nothing is there, and the Kinect is making a full-fledged figure.
Like, kind of like it shows like a stick figure of where the motion is. Yeah,
and it has your joints with squares, so you can see where the elbows and knees are and stuff like that, which is really neat. And then it recreates that with nothing there. Well, does that mean something's there?
Yeah.
You know?
It's picking up something.
Yeah. But you can't see it.
Exactly.
But you can see it on the Kinect.
Yes.
You know, which is the crazy part.
Now,
of
is that the first Kinect or are you using the second
this
one?
This is the newest
Xbox
one.
Xbox One Kinect.
Xbox One Kinect?
Yeah.
So okay, with more lasers.
All right. Because I was going to say, we've never used that before.
Oh,
and I've got a 361 laying around somewhere.
Well, you can use still use that.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
It still works. You just have to buy, I think it's like an adapter to hook it up to your laptop, and it's like $40 to $70, something like that. It's like, I already have this. Why not use it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And you can also buy the Xbox One Kinect separately now, too.
Yep. We also have a 4K camera.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, high-resolution camera.
It's getting repaired.
Every time you go and watch a video, they're like, oh, this is paranormal. It's like in this low-res. It's pixelated.
Yeah.
You can hardly tell what you're seeing. So we decided to invest in something that, you know, it's quality. You can't say that that's low-resolution kind of thing. So it's in the shop right now. It got recalled, so we don't have it out. But we're hoping to get an upgrade.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right, though.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because, like, just sitting here, like, the first time that I decided I was going to get into this hardcore, it's because of his house.
He just informed us of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did you?
He just told the story.
Oh, man, that was nuts. Because, I mean, I've dabbled. I've heard a little bit, seen a little bit, whatever. But it wasn't until I heard my own name being
That'll
whispered.
Usually do it.
Because it was the... It was just a regular Sony digital recorder on the floor, and it wasn't doing anything while we were in there. And after we left, it was walking all around in there. It sounded like boot on wood floor. And for like 3-4 minutes, it's just pacing. Mm-hmm. And essentially it goes like...
Something residual.
Yeah. Well, then it went like step, 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 and it...
Tapped on the recorder.
Tapped the recorder. And then later on, it whispered, Brandon. I'm like...
That's cool.
I fell out of my chair, and that's when I decided that I love this.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty accurate.
Oh, yeah.
I've been thrown through a chair at an investigation.
What?
I challenged the spirit or entity that was at this place, and it answered back pretty violently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was in an area where it was just there was a plastic chair. It was the living room of this place.
Yeah, a Black Moon Manor. You see it on TV. Not anymore.
It's not there anymore.
They tore it down.
But I uttered the words, come at me, bro. Literally, the only thing I said to it was, come at me, bro. And you hear something run down the hallway, scratching on the wall. And we didn't have cameras going, we just had audio going. But you hear something hit my chest, and I get thrown up and through a chair.
He's like, oh no, bam. I wasn't in there.
So that was my craziest paranormal experience I've had so far.
It was weird. Brandon forgot to mention, though, the day he decided... Yes, this is what he wants to do, was the day I decided I'm kind of out.
I'm kind of out.
Because it was in my house, so it was just like, okay.
It's a little personal then.
It was. It's funny because you kind of introed yourself as the I don't want other people to fear in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because, I mean, we hadn't really talked about that aspect of it, but, like, it was terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Really. I mean, when someone comes to you and says, hey, this thing that was none of us said my name, like, I'm out.
Yeah. See you later.
Mine was my grandmother, so that was a little bit comfort there, you know, kind of thing. Yours was not.
Yours was not your not relation.
Which would be unnerving, you know. I mean, it's your own home, and that's no one you know that's there.
Yep.
I've actually had stuff happen in my house, and I don't mess with it. The only time that I have done anything is when I told it to stop.
Yeah.
And usually putting your foot down there, you
yes.
know, this is
well,
my
okay.
house kind
being
of thing
assertive.
Help.
Now this is a very entertaining story. This is back in 2012. We were going to go see The Dark Knight Returns or Dark Knight Rises, and it was middle of the afternoon, so it wasn't even at nighttime or like what you would characterizedly think that's going to happen. This was like 3 o'clock in the middle of the day, and I'm getting ready to take a shower. I'm in the bathroom, naked. Already get
well,
in my.
Well, I'm glad.
Well, I'm just you saying.
Paint
clothes.
The picture.
I'm
paint
just
the picture.
That I am literally painting this picture, and we live in an old house. This house was built in the 1900s, and in the bathroom door is like original, so you have to pull it shut.
It.
And so, normally, dude, if it's just us hanging around, that door is like just cracked,
mm-hmm.
and something hit that door hard, like punched it or ran, and instantly I'm thinking, dumb cats. You know, and I look out to like to yell at him to stop, and there's one of them waking up.
What was that noise?
And then I'm like, okay, let's grab a towel on, and I'm looking for the other ones. They're in the back of the house, and I'm like,
this is weird.
Okay, so then I walked kind of angrily back into my bathroom, and I said, if this is the way this is going to be, you guys can just leave, or you could just leave. I didn't use plural. I said you. And I really haven't had much after that because we had a little bit empty soda can just flying off side table or something like that. But that's just it. Is it like, as you want to be comfortable in your own home.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's very important. And that's one reason, like, I'm so happy that you guys are so much into investigating residential is that that is one thing that, like, I'm a little wary of because I don't have as much experience with that.
And it can be weird. You're calling people that you've never met.
And going into their home.
Then you think you're crazy because this stuff is happening. And then we just go, and you know, most of the time when we're meeting the clients, it's our first time in their home.
Yeah.
So you got to think we're invading their area
yeah.
to try to figure out what's going on. So at at that point, they're admitting that they think something's there. So in the back of their mind, they're already thinking, you know, it's a demon. Most of the time, the people associate it with being bad.
Yeah. And we've had a couple of instances where, like, my partner has messaged me and goes, hey, this guy I work with just said they've had some pretty weird stuff. Do you want to go? And I'm like, kind of, but maybe, like, we should get somebody that...
Yeah.
Like, we can go sweep it, but I'm like, I don't want to mess with their house.
Yeah. I mean, we're there one day. Even if we don't catch anything, we're there one day out of the whole year, you know? And I try to comfort them if nothing happens. Like, we'll come back.
Yeah.
No problem coming back. We don't charge. We don't do... It's all out of our pockets.
Yeah.
Drive there. We take Twinkie donations.
right we literally on. Had a guy.
We get hungry a little bit. You Twinkies. Know?
It was awesome.
That's cool.
They just came back and we're like, they're like, do you want anything? We're like,
it was like the week they came back from like
that
the bed.
Was so depressing.
Yeah. I know,
we
right?
Had that 10-month span of like no
Twinkies.
Like no Twinkies, no
the
ding
fairs
dongs.
Didn't have deep fried Twinkies. It was just horrible. It was a horrible so situation in my life.
yeah, man. What else you guys got up here? You got like this camera.
Oh yeah, this is some of our older equipment.
So that's what we would normally put our 4K camera on, that whole device right there, so it stays stable.
Yes.
Now is that like an infrared?
This is an infrared phantom light, and we also use a full spectrum light too. So that's your full array of the rainbow light, and thrown onto a night vision camera or a full spectrum camera, it's going to illuminate purple or green or gray to kind of illuminate the dark. So it's pretty cool to use. I don't know if the battery's working this one.
It's you can't tell. It's the dark one where it doesn't blind you and everyone else in a dark
but
room.
But in a pitch black room and you have this light, it's going to look like daylight. And that's the cool aspect of it and having it attached with a night vision. This one is a full this is the full spectrum camera.
Yeah.
So it'll be purple. But I could walk through a complete room without a flashlight as long as I have this.
Yeah.
Because I can see.
And
so it's pretty cool.
The other thing we have is this camera right here. It's for our DVR. We have a whole DVR set.
Right.
We don't typically use it because it's a lot to set up.
Yes.
I mean, just to go to someone's house and set all these lines up and everything like that, you know, it seems like a little too much. So we don't typically use that unless
we have to
they're okay with it or, you know, they're not going to be home and they say, you have all day, you know, just all day, do what you want. So
and
we'll hook it up.
In some cases, like, the place doesn't even have power.
Yeah,
and in most cases, right now we have our DVR systems going into a building that's really close to here. We're gonna start hosting public investigations at the Evelyn Erie warehouse right here. There's been a lot of things. This part of Lafayette is very interesting. I don't know if you guys did a little research or anything. I was mentioning earlier how like history. Mm-hmm. This part from Market Square to the river was where the Spanish influenza quarantine was of 1912 and
1912.
1918, I believe, in 1912.
1917, so anybody 1918
that,
again.
Yeah. Anybody that caught the Spanish flu would come down here to essentially, if they can't recover, they're dying in this area.
Yeah.
So it was the big quarantine for Lafayette. So you're talking over
not
this...
Not talked about a lot.
Yeah, it's not talked about. But over the span of, you know, this couple miles or whatever this is right here, you know, the hundreds of people have died.
Yeah,
just by
so it's
you
like
know,
a hot spot potentially.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls.
A lot
down
of
here,
homes,
yeah.
a lot of yeah. homes. We get calls about around this area.
Yeah, especially this area. And this, you know, the railroad used to come right here. Erie Street used to be the railroad. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but there was a big hobo town back in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, and they would come right here. And it wasn't, you know, policemen were finding people dead in the bushes all the time. Everybody travelers that would come in, and that was a big thing too. So this area we're in is very popular and has a lot of energy down here.
Yeah, but we are trying to get the public involved and learn these how to investigate if you're going to do it. So we'll be doing that at the haunt, at Wabash or Evil on Erie.
Yes.
Eventually, we have a sign-up sheet. If you guys are interested, let us know.
Absolutely, I'll be on that for sure. But see, and that's really cool because at each hunt that I've done, you always learn what not to do.
Exactly.
Like you say, okay, I'm talking way too much. I'm not pointing here, or I'm not saying stuff on the recorder that, like, oh, that was just something. That was, like, my foot. Yep. I'm not listing this. I'm not
doing my stomach. I'm terrible. My growl, my stomach, it just sounds terrible on a recorder.
Oh, man.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
it's
horrible. They're like, oh, so what was that? I'm like, it was Steiner. It's his fault.
And sometimes it's easy to forget not to mark something. Where it's like, that
and I mean, even today, to this day, I forget stuff.
Yeah.
And then they'll remind me like, oh, I think I got some on audio. No, that was Steiner's stomach.
The biggest pet peeve I have about when investigating is people start to whisper. Don't whisper. You talk in your normal voice.
That's hard
because it is because you want to be quiet. Every other part of you wants to be quiet, but you can't. Your voice has to be a little bit loud so we know who you are, you know, kind of thing, and not just like a whisper in the background.
It's so natural to just go into a softer spoken. Mm-hmm.
I tend to do it too,
when
still.
You're trying to be quiet.
In the dark, it's just natural to whisper.
When you're doing like a quiet session, they'll give it like 10 or 15 minutes just to die down
and
get dead time in there. How long does it take you guys to go through audio evidence? Because I know for me, I've got a hard drive back there.
It takes a while.
Full of paranormal crap that I have even listened. I probably have the holy grail.
Yeah, you don't know it, though.
Of audio evidence where I have a ghost going,
hey,
guys.
We have
some good evidence. We have it. You want to listen to it? I got headphones.
Absolutely.
You can listen to it over there.
But I probably have, like, hey, guys, how you doing? I'm the resident ghost of this establishment. I just want to say, hey, what are you guys doing here? But I haven't heard it because
the paranormal is real. I'm here to tell you all. It's not.
But that's the thing is when we're going to an investigation, we have 8 DVR cameras running. We have three or four recorders
of those. Eight hours apiece.
You're there at 8 hours.
Yes.
So you got to think, 8 cameras, 8 hours, that's 64 hours of stuff we have to go over.
Yeah.
But we have
it's
a team
of... It's kind of disheartening at times.
Yeah, it is, because you're like...
I'm only like 4 people in my group just chain listening to all this stuff.
It is so, like, it's exciting.
Monotonous.
It's monotonous, and the monotony gets boring.
Yes.
Because you're sitting there for hours.
I heard all this. I was right there.
And then your buddy's like, hey, I heard something. And you're like, what? Right there, I heard it. I don't hear anything. It's right there. I didn't hear anything. Take some white noise out. I still don't hear anything.
Yeah.
And then we spend 20 minutes arguing.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, if you are going to investigate there, that is the kind of the back end of it. You do have to follow through with evidence to the client.
We do have one thing.
You have to do it in a speedy manner.
We do have one thing we're trying to improve upon that no one does. And that's getting microphones like this.
Yes.
That pick up noise that are all connected into a board.
Okay.
That will then... change, you know how you have the audio that
it's multi-track
spikes and stuff like that, and I'll have multi-tracks
Dante.
and listen to them all at once. And so when something starts happening, you see the spikes
see the
when no one was there. So you look back and you're like, oh, there's spikes right there. I know there's audio right there.
Right, yeah.
So you go back to that one point, and so you investigate for 8 hours, and you listen to it once, and you listen to all your 8 hours.
Oh,
we haven't quite done it yet, but
we
have some audio
close.
Engineers that are going through and making that for
close.
Us.
I've got one more question for me until we can open it up. Have you guys ever had any weird light anomalies?
Light anomalies like orbs?
Like light that...
Or just light that appears in streaks?
Kind of like laser streaks or...
It was... Okay, what we saw, it was green.
Okay.
Like neon green, and it lit up the room at one point.
So I've never had anything like that
myself. The little known fact about green. Green is the color green in night vision. That is the worst thing to take away your night vision. So if there's a flash of any sort, it can, you know, your eyes can manipulate seeing the whole room light up.
Okay.
So it could have been simple as having a green light on a remote flash.
Okay.
But if you're in a pitch black room and your eyes manipulate it, it's lighting up the whole room.
Okay, because like the room that we were in, like we had it earlier and we thought we were setting up a night vision camera, we thought it could have just been our equipment.
Could have been.
Because we saw like some specs and whatnot up there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, never mind. And then we were doing another session up there with just me and my partner. And then I saw a couple of dots.
Okay.
Like, what was that? And he didn't see it. And then he goes, didn't we see that earlier? I said, yeah, but we thought it was something else. And about 3 minutes later, I saw this. It lit up the whole room.
Wow.
And I'm like, tell me you saw that. He goes, Yep.
and something like that might be kind of a light anomaly that you wouldn't be able to explain, but you wish you caught on camera because then you'd have evidence to explain that. Right? Yeah.
we were just up there with a recorder, and me and him had not really had a lot of just two of us time.
Yep.
Because we're like the two lead investigators, so usually I'm going with somebody who doesn't hurry off their heat. He's going. Yep. And so, we darted up.
I was downstairs with
him. Really?
He was downstairs.
Yeah, and I had seen the light earlier.
And nice. Something like... something like that. So if there is movement or light in a room, this is where this would come into play.
Hopefully.
Because that would back up motion or anything that's in that room. So that's what I think.
But, the only thing I've ever seen, nothing like that, but I've seen what I thought were eyes, red eyes.
I've kind of seen that too.
Yeah. One house investigation I've went to, we've had red eyes.
That one was up for sale?
Huh?
Is that the one that's up for sale right now?
No.
You want a haunted house? I know there's one for sale.
Yeah.
We can link you up with it.
Yeah. If you're into haunted houses, we know one that's for sale.
Yeah.
But it was an indie. We also had scratches that happened to us. Mm-hmm. 27 scratches in 4 to 5 hours.
That were documented over four or five
We took all the pictures. I mean, you can see them on our Facebook site.
Moral to that investigation story, we are now partnered with the Catholic Church to do an exorcism.
Yeah. We're working on that. I mean, it's...
Before we started, that same partner, he got a triangle scratch on his leg. And he thought it was just like, oh, man, I'm itchy. He looked at it, and it was like kind of like... broken the skin a little bit. He goes,
oh, wow.
And he sent me a picture. He goes, what's in my house? And I'm just like,
I don't know.
What did you bring into your house?
He's like, why did every time we talk about this, do I hear stuff in my house? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know, but I don't know about that scratch.
Wasn't me.
Awesome. So if we have any questions,
from the
glorious attendees here for these gentlemen, they'll be glad to take them.
Yeah, if it's not now, we have our table and everything. Come check out the DVR. And we have one of the clearest EVPs that we've ever had, that I ever heard.
Yeah.
And it does something that audio shouldn't do. And I'll leave it at that. Yeah. So you guys come by, check it out. It's really cool, and it's going to blow your mind and change how you perceive. And
you're going to think a person is there.
It's pretty crazy. It's that so clear. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you guys so much. And thanks to you guys for coming up here, sharing us your stories and some of your equipment. A lot of interesting stuff up here, and it's awesome because like you guys are like up here, and I'm like down here, so I'm like I'm learning.
You can always
learn along with our audience. So
yeah, one other thing I wanted to say is when we go to people's homes, we don't pressure them into religious things.
Of course,
anything like that. So your beliefs are perfectly fine, and we try to find solutions
within your beliefs.
Within those beliefs, you know, it's one thing. A lot of people
and I've been known to walk into a church and ask for holy water.
Yeah.
They look at you weird at first,
yeah.
And then you explain what's going on, and they give it to you. So a little tidbit there. You can walk into any church.
Well, once again, thank you guys, and definitely stop by their booth. I know I will be to hear that audio clip.
Well, Nate, that was one hell of a panel. I had a lot of fun. I felt really in my element here and just talking to these guys. It was cool because like it almost kind of seemed like it just worked out that like, yes, we're comic guys, we're video game guys, movie guys, and we can sit here and we can talk with all these guys. But the fact that I happen to have a history in paranormal, it seemed to just gel so much. What are you doing?
There was a little fuzzy on your mic.
On my mic?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. You don't pick my fuzz. But anyway, yeah, dude, I just thought it just gelled so well, and I honestly think it kind of like surprised those. Like them a little bit, that instead of us just being this unknown entity, is like, well, I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna throw it down with these guys, and I'm just gonna talk right there and right with them.
It was really cool because it seemed like you guys were old pals. You know, you'd been working together for many years. You haven't, and it was weird because I actually didn't know that you knew them before we were here until today, and you were like, oh yeah, I've been following you guys since 2011, and he was like, what's your group called? And you said Spectre and explained it to him. And he was like, I remember talking to you. And I was like, that's incredible. Like, you guys had this weird connection. And here we are 2017, many years later. And you got to do this really awesome panel again. The stories were good. The gadgets are good. And I just had a blast, man. It was fun.
Yeah, dude, it is really cool, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Journey to Comics. Of course, you can check us out on all of our social media, Journey to Comics Podcast on Facebook, JSE Podcast on Twitter, Journey to Comics on Instagram, Journey to Comics Podcast at gmail.com, and you can check us out at journeyintocomics.podbean.com to check out all of our past episodes, and check us out on YouTube, because this panel and so many other ones are going to end up on YouTube, as you can just watch us. You can see us up there lounging on this badass lounge stage, and it was just so cool and relaxing. So until next time, I'm Brando.
And I'm Nate.
And this has been Journey into Comics. See you next week.